12. We're still talking about the servant. In verse 41, we read this, but just sort of keep up. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Woe, who then is the faithful and wise servant, steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat or food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. In other words, being faithful. We've spent much time on this. When he cometh is the one word, erchomai. But it's always in the present tense. So that it's a verb form that even in the language itself, it means it could happen any second. It's always now, when he cometh. Last night we talked about a great deal about the mystery of the bride, the love song between the bride and the groom. If that doesn't create this sense of urgency, I don't know what will. It's being consumed with this one thing, and that's what zeal is. Anybody have any thoughts about that? What doesn't hit you? The Song of Solomon, or?
I mean, the way you promoted it, let me say. The best book ever written. Everybody says it.
That's not, I didn't promote it. I just said what was that, what other people said about it.
Whatever. You know what I'm saying. But I didn't, it doesn't produce that in me, so. I could hear it two ways. I couldn't understand it with my mind, which is probably totally appropriate. But I could see spiritually this great love that was trying to be expressed. But frankly, there's so many parables and words and stuff in there that I didn't understand, that I couldn't catch it all. So as far as what you're saying here, it should produce zeal, it should be this, it doesn't to me.
Well, let's talk for a minute about the Megillah, or the whole Megillah.
Am I alone here?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
The purpose of the Megillah, remember, is it's these five books of the Bible, all five scrolls, that are considered to be of such importance that every person, even the ones that were working on the daily things that were necessary in the temple, keeping the fire lit, the altar of incense, everything, every person was required to listen to the reading of the Megillah. The first one was the book of Esther. And it shows, as we talked about many times, that even without our awareness, God is always working in the background.
Can I stop you a second? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. But I'm thinking, and I'm losing you because I'm still back there. Every person irrespective of their job, was required to read the Megillah.
To be in their Seder, if you will, for the reading of the Megillah.
They were required to be in their Seder for the reading of the Megillah.
Right. It was considered to be so important that even the sacrifices that were constant in the temple were suspended.
So they were required to listen to, read. I'm sorry?
Well, they read it in the Seder group,
Who was doing the requiring? And what was the result of the requirement met? Then you were officially Christian, or you were officially a member of temple, or what was the result of that?
Hopefully the result of it was understanding.
Required. In other words,
this was to the Jewish people, not to the Christians. This is what the requirement was in the temple.
The Jewish people as a nation.
Everything stopped in the temple for the reading of the Megillah.
Okay. I'm confused.
What are you confused about?
Every person who worked in the temple and who attended Seder was required to attend Seder. I think I'm bristling at the word required. Required by whom? And after they meet the requirement, then what? Then I'm officially in what?
You met the requirement?
Met the requirements of the Jewish nation, met the requirements of the temple, of being a Christian.
Of God.
Well, what's the nation got to do with that?
The nation was the parable always for the bride.
We're talking about a parable here?
We're always talking about a parable, John. Everything is a parable. That's why we see through everything to see one thing, the bride. That's why the sacrifices, each and every one of the sacrifices and all their grades and all of their differences were all a metaphor, a parable of Jesus Christ. The reason that it's not Jesus Christ alone, it's Christ and his bride. And throughout history, Israel was always Israel, she who sees God, was always the bride. Now, many people saw it just as a bunch of rules.
What happened to the people that didn't meet the requirement or who decided they didn't want to meet the requirement? They were...
What happened to them?
Okay. Well, if it's a parable, there's no answer to that question. Maybe I'm having a hard time distinguishing between what's parable and what's history or literal or something. Am I alone here, guys?
They're probably going to hell just like nowadays if you're things you don't confess or believe as a Christian. There are certain camps that believe you're burning hell.
Well, there are a lot of camps that believe you burn in hell for not subscribing to their particular ideology. I think we can all say that's bullshit.
Yeah. I think there's something else I'm sensing in here that every time we do a feast, it's the same kind of feeling. This is the most important thing we've ever done, ever seen. You don't see this, you don't understand. You go to Passover is one, Pentecost is one, even Talmud, if you don't understand Talmud. You don't understand Rosh Hashanah, if you can't get a hold of Tabernacles, it's like, each one has this all-encompassing importance in and of itself that it covers the universe. Go to the next one.
Well, I think you've misstated what I've said for 40 years. But the three important ones, the most important, that are required. All males were required to present themselves three times a year. Okay. At Passover, at Pentecost, and at Tabernacles.
Okay.
Now, if they didn't meet it, that requirement, they were cut off from the people.
Was the Megillah the same thing?
No.
Okay.
But the Megillah, the reason I read it, read those statements by people, including Christians, that had that had seen this mystery of God. All those statements about all the books that ever been published, this one is by far the most important of all the times. The time that it took when this was written was the most important. And the reason it was the most important is because it succinctly in emotional language reveals what's going on. Christ and his bride. That's all that's going on. Now, the reason I think all these things are so important is because otherwise you just are floating in the atmosphere somewhere. Now, it's not me that says the three pilgrimage feasts were most important. Paul says it, so he must by all means get back to Jerusalem for the feast. He says that twice in the book of Acts. I mean, I feel an excitement about these things.
That's what communicates with me, is the excitement, not necessarily the requirement to,
Well, forget the word "require." That's bad word. Well, it's not a bad word, but it's the idea that it's if you're still at where you something is required, then you're not over here. You're not in the position. Yeah. If you think of it as requirement, then you haven't seen the mystery of,
right,
of what the mystery of God is in every page. And so there's no, forget that. But I'm telling you that the Torah itself says that the three pilgrimage feasts are so important that if the males, because the males were the ones that had to keep it, the females were covered by the males. The male, it was so important that every male had to attend those three feasts. If they didn't, they were cut off from the people. And it didn't matter where in the world they were. So that's what fundamentally kept them from being mixed with other nations. So they kept their identity.
And nobody actually cut them off. It was a spiritual matter. They were cut
themselves off.
By not being there, they were cut off. It was what is rather than requirement.
No, it was a requirement.
Okay.
It was in the law. Well, now you don't have to do anything. I don't care what you do. My prayer is that somehow the same sense of urgency and excitement that I feel can be translated or transformed or forwarded to other people. Apparently it's not working. Well, again, I'm not going to go through whether somebody is individually. I'm just talking about in general the spirit of this thing this morning. So, no, that's, to me, that's my fault. Somehow it hasn't been communicated the same way that I see it. Otherwise, I don't know how anybody else could be except excited about it. So... I mean, we're back to these basic things then. I mean, why meet every morning? Remember when we first started, I said, everybody wanted to meet. We met once a week.
Oh, no, that wasn't enough. Then we met twice a week. It wasn't my call.
Then I tried to encourage everybody to go to their church. And that didn't work too well.
We become a church.
But the whole idea of every aspect of this, I haven't, I mean, I had the same excitement, maybe even more so back when we first started than I do now. Well, I'm not trying to measure. I'm just trying to describe how, what the process were in doing this. I never even wanted to record, if you remember. Harry turned me into recording.
I've thought about that before, but, you know, I like excitement. I like the emotional aspects because I do get that way. I just don't, in this case, what you have built up, and I'm not feeling it, so I'm telling you straight up. So you're not confused about me, like John or anybody else, but it's almost like the faith is when you don't feel it and there's still faith. You've heard enough, you've seen enough, you don't have to be.
Well, even this thing we just studied in verse 43, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. And the idea that when he cometh is in the, always in the present tense, to me is huge. It's every time it's used. I'm talking about in the Greek language. It's in the present tense. I don't always understand what it is in English, but. It's all of the stuff we've studied from verse 31 down. Seek ye the kingdom of God only, and then all the other things shall be added to you. Take no thought. Let your loins be girded, your lights burning.
Yeah.
It's the whole thing we've been studying and talking about for the last couple weeks is the it's a sense of urgency that talks about, that's all the scriptures are about, all we've studied. Take no thought for your life. This is too important. And he says, of a truth I say unto you that, in verse 44, will make him a ruler of all that he hath. But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Now to me, every time I have a concern about something that's going on in the world, then I'm saying in my heart that the Lord is delaying his coming. So that gives me breath to be concerned about something else. But all these parables and everything we've studied the last few weeks has all been about this sense of urgency. And apparently, that hasn't been communicated right.
No.
So even
here,
do what?
And then coming over to here, the sense of urgency.
Because the sense of urgency was all over the Song of Solomon. The urgency of the bride.
Yeah. She was thinking about.
And then the sense of urgency is what we've been studying here.
Well, it almost seems like with what Gary said and John said. Poured the water on the fire for the Bible study this morning, because I see you just kind of I rarely ever see this kind of like let your shoulders down.
Well, it's disappointing to me, obviously.
Like fires out. Just no campfires.
All right, let's go on. Verse 44. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he has. Now, of a truth is a lethos. It comes from, and it's a, remember the Hebrew word truth is emeth. People that are named Emmet, they're named after that. Emeth. But this is the biggest thing that defined Abraham. He was the first person to define what truth was. And therefore, because of that, he was the first person to see there was only one God. Prior to that, there were gods for everything. Now, we don't think there are gods for everything, so our mind doesn't work. But we've got all kinds of idols in our culture that make the 500 gods of Abraham's time seem tame. We've got many more than 500 now. But we don't call them gods, so they don't seem like gods. We don't have images up there so that we worship, but we give breath. Whatever we give breath to, that's what worship means. And so, the idea of finding out and having this certainty of what truth isn't, and the only thing that's important enough for anyone to give breath to is something that meets the standard of truth. Otherwise, it seems silly to give it importance. And so that's sort of basic. That's remedial Christianity. That if we, everybody says they're a truth seeker. Well, but they want their own truth. Abraham had enough integrity to know that his own truth was bullshit. I hope each of us do. But think about it. The first man in history that we know of, that's ever written about anyway, to define what truth is, and then relate that so that, therefore, there could only be one God. Now, if you think of yourself alone in the world and there was none of this, then you have to have an understanding of what it would mean to come to that position. It would be a threat to everything in that world. The only thing that's worth giving importance to giving any breath to giving any, is that which doesn't change with time, place, or circumstance. It's the only thing that should consume your mind. That's what it means to take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Something that happened to you maybe 30 years ago or something about seeing communicated. You were kind of were interested in, for a brief time, in this woman, and then somehow at that point you saw through to see the mystery of God's desire for the bride, and that echoes with me. In various women and then, you know, get disappointed or whatever, but to see through that and see the picture of God's desire for the bride and the completion, that does really communicate. And see through it and see past my own stuff.
Amen.
Thinking that
talk about or whatever, either witnesses to it or doesn't.
Let's just look at one, we'll start out looking at one scripture about it, but truth. Go to Matthew 14. This of a truth, or is translated surely or truly or very sometimes, but it's always comes out like in this case where Jesus has walked on water, and Peter came and started walking, and well, let's go in verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said unto him, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now, at this point, they were still worshiping him because he did tricks.
Yeah.
But it's the start. It's the beginning of our understanding. It takes a different form in different people. Some people are, it seems to me, it looks from everything I've seen, that some people, you know, they are truly truth seekers, and they try everything in their power to find something that meets that standard, but then they usually sell out just to exist. I certainly did. Because again, for me, in order to see truth, I had to see what it wasn't. And a contrast are the greatest form of teaching there is. For me, I had to see all these things that I had once given breath to, I had to see their silliness in order for me to see what truth was. And I think that's probably true for each one of us. But I'm not sure it's very important to some people. Some people, they get settled in their mind and they have these ideas about life, and that's fine with them. And that seems to work for them. Again, from my standpoint, it looks like they're just eating dust, just like the snake was cursed to do, to eat dust, is be led by his belly and eat dust all the days of his life. And as long as I'm alive, I probably will continue to make fun of that, because it's just the snake eating dust. Whether a baseball team wins or loses, or whether a movie is good or bad, or whether a book has any meaning, it's just a snake eating dust. We finally come to something that we finally find out that our only sustenance and satisfactions comes from eating the flesh of the Son of God and drinking his blood. That's our only worth.
and there's a whole new world that opens up.
Amen.
So we'll spend some time on Of a Truth in the next few days. All right?
Yeah.
Take it, big guy.